Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
If you're here tonight and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have been born again. You have a confident assurance that you are born through the shed blood of Christ again as a part of the family of God. You are welcome to participate with us. And that means that all those who are believers are expected, obligated, to be able to participate and to observe the Lord's Supper. This is not something that's an option. How do we know that? Look at the first section here. Paul writes to the Corinthians, I have received of the Lord, which also I delivered unto you. So this is something that is a divinely imparted, that which was given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And since the Apostle Paul is writing this to the church of Corinth, this is expected by the church. This is not something we do just individually here and there. This is something we do as a corporate body, collectively meeting together as worship. So what we really are doing in this whole service is a worship. And this whole Lord's Supper is a time to adore and appreciate all that Jesus Christ has done. Then he says, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now that night, around that table in the upper room, as they were observing the Passover meal, by the way, 1 Corinthians 5:7, Jesus Christ is our Passover. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. When he says to his disciples who are around the table, this is my body, he takes the bread, the unleavened bread, and he says, this is my body. So he's looking at this bread. He takes it, he breaks it, and distributes. Now, by the way, this is a reminder of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. There is nothing mystical or magical that can be done to be able to pronounce this the actual body of Christ. We do not, when we partake together, we do not knit in some fashion and be able to take in the body of Christ physically, literally. This is symbolic. This is symbolic. Now, why did God give us an object lesson? Why didn't he just say, you can sit around and you think in your mind, you reflect upon? I don't know exactly. Same thing with baptism and the other ordinance. Why didn't he just say, you can publicly declare? Why do you have to be placed under the water and brought back up? These visual object lessons that were determined by the Lord himself were for our benefit so that we can fully remember and reflect upon, because we as human beings, we can tend to be negligent. We can tend to be forgetful. How many of you have ever forgotten where your phone is, or you've forgotten where your keys are, or you've forgotten a birthday, or you've forgotten some appointment? We can be forgetful. However, the Lord puts into place that which allows us, however often we do it, to come face to face with the reality that Jesus literally, physically, substitutionarily died on the cross on your behalf. And so he says, when you take this bread, it should remind you and it should cause you to think upon and consider that when Jesus died on the cross, he took your sins upon himself, even as we just read from Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That means when Jesus Christ was on the cross, as he was being crucified, and in between that sixth and ninth hour, noon till 3 in the afternoon when it got dark, the understanding is at that point, the sin of the world was placed upon Jesus Christ. All the sin, the rebellion, every doubt, every disbelief, every perversion, every corruption, every violation of the Word of God, of every person was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sin was nailed to the cross. Your sin was put onto the body of Jesus as he was nailed to the cross. And that's what he's saying here. Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Now, being broken for you is the idea of having been nailed to the cross. Not that his body was, the bones were broken, but his body was disjointed. He was the sacrificial lamb. And he did that for you. And he says, you do this in remembrance of me. He doesn't say, do this to gain more saving grace. He doesn't say this in order for you to get some spiritual merit. He doesn't say, do this so that you become more spiritually energized. No. You have all the salvation you're ever going to get through Jesus Christ when you accepted him as Savior. What this does after the fact, it causes us to appreciate the great salvation that we have been given. Because another element of humanity is we can tend to be really unappreciative at times. Remember growing up as kids? If you forgot to say thank you, what did your parents remind you? What do you say? Because we can tend to be forgetful, neglect, and unappreciative. So what Jesus does, he gives this opportunity for us to remember collectively what he has done for us. In a moment, the deacons are going to distribute, and we're all going to partake together in remembrance of and reflection upon Jesus Christ dying on the cross, being nailed to the cross, and your sin being affixed to him. Now, that's so significant because you could not pay the penalty for your own sin. You are a sinner. Sinners need a sinless individual to pay the price for the sinner. That's why an animal is not sufficient. All the animals of the Old Testament were sacrificed in expectation of and in a foreshadowing of the ultimate true sacrifice which would come, Jesus Christ. And therefore, when you hold that piece of bread and the piano plays in the background, it gives you the opportunity to reflect, to remember, to appreciate what Jesus Christ has done. And again, if you're here tonight, you're not saved. You don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. You can't appreciate that which you don't have. And you can't fully remember that which was never done for you. Therefore, this is not for the unbeliever. But thankfully, unbelievers, anybody sitting here who's not saved, you can recognize, whoa, Jesus died for me, take my sin upon himself, and you can get saved even right this very moment. You can come to him in faith right now, trusting him as your sin bearer and is the one who provided you with everlasting life through his own bloody sacrificial death. Which leads me to the next, where he says, after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, by the way, when he had given thanks, it says, in both instances, thankful for the bread, thankful for the cup. And he says, this is the New Testament. The word testament can carry with it the idea of a covenant. That which was established by God to provide that entrance into heaven. What God has done in order to give us a relationship with him. That which was not able to be fulfilled in the law, that was not able to be done even all the way back in the days of Noah or even any of the others back through Cain, Adam and Eve. He said, this has been done, the blood-sealed covenant that gives you an eternal relationship with the Almighty God through faith in him, the Lamb of God, who has died to be the bloody payment price for all of sin. And he says, this do as oft as you do in remembrance of me. Now, once again, notice the emphasis. You're doing this. You're taking the cup and you drink the juice. It's a remembrance of and it's a reflection upon the blood that Jesus Christ had shed on the cross. It was a bloody crucifixion. And by the way, there was no other way in which the salvation price could be paid. If Jesus was hanged, that would not have been sufficient. If Jesus Christ would have been boiled alive or flayed alive, which was a method of death in that day, it would not have been sufficient. If he would have drowned, it would not have been sufficient. He had to shed his blood. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And you're going to see later as we partake together, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The price that was paid in order to cancel your sin debt was his own bloody death. And so when you are there sitting as a piano plays and you're waiting to partake together, it gives you an opportunity to thank God and to appreciate the love that was shown to you as Jesus shed his blood to cover your sins. We just sang earlier, washed all my sins away. The only way that your sins could ever be washed away or ever forgiven is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, once again, he says, this do in remembrance of me. You're not doing this to gain spiritual favor with God. You're not doing this to get any more salvation. You're not doing this to obtain grace. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. Nothing more is needed to secure salvation. Nothing more can be added in order for salvation to be received. Jesus paid it all. And that's why when the piano plays, you're holding the cup and you're prepared to partake together with all of us. The Bible says that that is done in remembrance of him. Now, by the way, it says, as you look down even further, for as often as you eat this bread, you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. This captured my attention, even in preparation, because how often are we focused on, and so well should we be, on the bloody sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread representing his body on the cross, bearing our sin, the cup showing his shed blood, which is covering our sin. And then Jesus says, you're doing and you're showing this until I come. One of the things to remember in coupling this probably with last week's Sunday night message from the book of Philippians chapter 3, heavenly citizens on earth, we're living right now because we are citizens of heaven. It just hasn't been fully realized yet. But look at the verses of scripture where Jesus mentions his coming. Luke 19, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. That's a parable of the Lord Jesus Christ being a landowner. That's the parable of Jesus giving his different resources, talents. And it is a kingdom parable. And he is in here promising to return. John chapter 14, just before the crucifixion account, before the betrayal in the garden, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's where a lot of the songs we sing. Mansions, different songs that reflect upon when I get to heaven, I'm going to enjoy a mansion. By the way, the word mansion here is not a palatial estate that's going to have gates and all kind of rooms. It just means dwellings, a dwelling place. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. What a glorious reality. And then you get to the book of Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And then he ends Revelation, and behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his work, which it shall be. He which testified of these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus, John echoes. And maybe the Lord incorporated this with an expectation of heaven when we will sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, or when we will sit down and he will serve us, and when we will enjoy, quote unquote, this grand communion service, which he mentions in the book of Matthew. I will not eat or drink of this until I do anew with you in the kingdom. The other thing is, when we fix our minds and focus our attention on his glorious return, it does cause us to appreciate the fact that he's coming again and we're going to live with him forever. And it's all because he paid the price. The Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 3, and whoever has this hope in them, the confident expectation, purifies himself, even as he is pure. There's something about the Lord's Supper that causes us and motivates us and encourages us to, one, be very grateful and humbly appreciate what Jesus Christ has done to give us everlasting life. And number two, to take that appreciation and translate that into action. Because appreciation can be cerebral. It can be all here. It can be here too. I mean, here are all the facts we appreciate. Here, we feel it. But it should be demonstrated here in our daily living. So as we would go from this place tonight, reflecting upon and remembering that we're on our way to heaven, we're going to be with him, we shall know him, we shall see him, we shall know him by the print of the nail in his hands. And so as we partake together, it's a glorious reminder that the only reason we're going to be there is because of what he has done for us here. And so I pray and trust we truly appreciate that. The other thing that is mentioned, when you look here, he says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread, drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now that means this is a serious time. This is a time of meditative reflection. This is a time of true, humble appreciation. But he said, let a man examine himself. So what are you examining? I don't think he's asking us to examine whether we're saved or not. That's already pretty well decided, because this is for believers only. And he's referring to the bread and the cup as for believers. But I think he's saying, what is your attitude? How do you approach this, the Lord's Supper? Because it does say about unworthily, that's flippantly, nonchalantly. Kind of, let's get this over with. I got things to do. Or let's tack it on at the end of a service and get it over with. It's a mechanical thing. I've done this so often times. No. Every time we observe the Lord's Supper should be almost like the first time. It should have a contemplative, reflective, meditative, thankfulness, remembrance, and appreciation. Let a man examine himself, and then so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. One thing that we do is when we distribute, in a moment the deacons will do that, he gives you time to examine, gives you time to reflect, gives you time to appreciate. There's another way in which we do that. There's a song that we sing. It's called, Search Me, O God. It's a prayer. We're going to sing this as part of our own examination. And I would ask you to do this. Think of the words as you sing. And ask as a prayer unto the Lord. Ask and you shall receive. Think of this as we, in this manner, prepare ourselves to take part of the Lord's Supper. Search me, O God.
Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording, let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m.
Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.